Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
By the way,
the Nerd Hour.
Best selling show.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. No! Get ready for Hippo Juice.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
It's High Society Radio.
Give it up for the DP.
You're listening to Atomicast.
More Like Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zunes, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, it was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it. But
no, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
And good evening, ladies and germs. Welcome to Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Hopefully this week I sound a lot much better. English speaking. I say last week's show was a bit shit. It was a good show, actually. It's just the audio crapped out on me, so there was no show for you to listen to. But the audio seems to be good this week, and I have a brand new show. As usual, I'll get into all the pleasantries and all that sort of bullshitty stuff. I say if you do want to Skype in, just add Antisocial Game Radio to your Skype contacts. If you want to email the show, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to join the Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Also, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. And don't forget to follow the show at More Like Radio, at MLR Gamer Radio, and you can follow the station at More Like Radio. It's coming this weekend, people. It's finally here. I've been talking about it for months. People are fucking sick to the back teeth of me talking about it. But it's the third annual More Like Radio live event. Yay! I shoot myself a soundboard or something. Literally this weekend, ladies and gents. It's here. I'm flying out in about 2 days. I can't wait. There'll be no show next week because literally I won't even be in the country. So basically you'd have to wait another week till I get back. Unless you're hearing this on the replay, when I'll see you next week, I guess, and time travel. I say this coming weekend, Thursday, I will be in Florida, hanging out with all the cool kids of More Like Radio. Saturday, 25th of April, downtown Lakeland, Florida, Preservation Hall. Get yourself down there. There's a whole bunch of people, turning up, friends, family, enemies. enemas, anything basically. 8:30 till midnight. Loads of stuff happening. So it's all for a good cause. It's for the Big Cat Rescue. They're basically a non-profit cat sanctuary based in Tampa. And I love cats, me. I went to the zoo the other day with my old man and saw loads of cats. It was really cool. And monkeys too. But yeah, so we got Mersh and Dandy Marino doing some stand-up. We got John doing his stand-up Spank Down. It's going to be a great weekend, ladies and gents. And if you can, get yourself to it if you're in the area. If you can't, I will be talking about it non-stop for a good few weeks to come. So basically, you know, it's going to be really good and really fun. I'm going to take plenty of pictures and basically have a really good time. Because I'm fucking knackered being in this country at the moment. I'm sort of looking forward to going back to my second home. You know, and seeing my friends again, basically. You know, because it's fuck all happening over here at the moment. But yeah, so it's all pretty good, something to look forward to. Yeah. That's it, really. That's it. Don't forget sponsors. Vapormania.com. When you buy stuff, you go to coupon code, enter MLR, you get 10% off your order. As I did do a show last week, it was actually a really, really good show, and I had a lot of fun doing it. It's just a cunt that the fucking audio just literally went... And I was like, no fucking way. I would have stopped the show if I'd seen it going all the way through. But this week, it seems to be okay. The bars are doing what it's supposed to be, so yeah. This is sounding pretty good for the moment, so I'm being good. Basically, I know what the problem was. I just didn't start my computer up properly, and it basically just went to shit on me. But yeah, as I say, as I did talk about stuff last week, and no one heard it, apart from the live listeners, obviously. Yeah, I will talk about it again. I got new games. I got Mortal Kombat X, and I got Super Mario 3D Land for my 3DS, which is cool. I'll go into Mortal Kombat X as I, you know. Just rehashing stuff, and I've done a bit more since I talked about it last week. Yeah, it's really fun. It's very hard. I mean, it's a standard sort of thing with your fighting games. It's weird, right? I'm having a lot of fun playing the faster characters. There's this insect woman. She's quite fast. I just sort of get countered a lot by some of the fighters that I'm fighting. I mean, as I say, with this Mortal Kombat game, it is pretty much exactly the same as the last one. Graphics are better. Different story. It sort of continues on from where the old last story left off with, was it Raiden saving the world with the talisman, and it was like Shinnok, one of the elder gods. It's a whole jumble of stuff and talky-talky. It's a really fun game. I'm just over halfway through. I haven't played it in a few days because I've been literally just trying to get my Final Fantasy on, which I'll talk about in a second as well. But yeah, I just have loads of fun with the characters. I mean, there's loads of new ones. You've got like Jax's daughter. You've got Johnny Cage and Sonya's daughter. You've got Kung Lao's cousin Kung Jin, who's pretty cool. But you've got Kenshi's son, who's my favourite because he's got like laser swords, like a lightsaber, and they just pop out, and he's really powerful. And you know, there's some decent all round characters I've started to like playing as. I mean. I played a bit of the story through as Jax. That was pretty sweet. Scorpion's pretty cool. And it's good. It's really good. It fleshes out more of the lore, more of the story, and gives us something we haven't seen before. Not in, you know, it's the same old characters, but it's weird. I mean, I'm playing the game, and it's like, okay, you've got Scorpion, you've got Sub-Zero, and they're not enemies anymore. And I'm like, this is cool. This is great. I mean, where I am in the story, they're friends again, you know, sort of, because of their clans and the betrayals and stuff. You know, it's good. I'm a big lover of the lore when it comes to this sort of to the fighting games, especially you know Sub-Zero. Sub-Zero in this game is the second Sub-Zero because first one became Noob Saibot, and it's so much stuff I could go on about fucking Mortal Kombat. I've only got 2 hours. I couldn't fill it up for any more than that. But yeah, I say it is really, really good, really, really fun. And the progression, basically, you know, it moves the story on. It moves the characters on. It does what comics don't, and it does what most stories never try. It's like, you know, we've gone forward, not in the future, but it's more move forward time that we are progressing more with the characters to the story. It's, you know... It's adding more. Because, I mean, you know, at the end of the game, at the end of the last Mortal Kombat, it's like, yeah, you saved the world. The beginning of this one, it's like 2 years after what happened. And it's like, okay, Quan Chi has captured a bunch of the fighters and he's controlling them, but Shinnok is controlling Quan Chi and all that sort of stuff. And then it just sort of jumps forward after you've beat the, you know, saved the world. You know, at the beginning, like the first chapter of the game is Johnny Cage. It like moves you forward 20 years and it's basically how the world is. And yeah, it's just really, really good. but yeah, I say this, it is a really good game. The graphics are amazing and tons of fun. I mean, I'm desperate to get through the story so I can sort of have to mess around with the other bits. Stuff I haven't even tried playing in this game. There's like faction stuff which we've got the first winner of that. It's the Lin Quakers. There's like five different factions that you can play as. Basically, when you start up the game, you choose which one you want to fight for, and it's basically you get rewards for choosing this faction, and you get points for every time you play the game, and they all go to your faction. So basically, it's like you can either be the Lin Kuei, Black Dragon, whoever Raiden's with, the Special Forces, and there's someone else I can't remember. I think Red something rather. But yeah, I say it's really good and fun and worth playing, and you know, I get to play as Sub-Zero again, which is cool. But yeah, I say, it's just classic Mortal Kombat fun and goodness that we come to expect and we want time after time. But yeah, I say it's really good and worth picking up, ladies and gents. I mean, there's nothing more I can say. It's pretty much Mortal Kombat, same old fighting game, same old stuff, better graphics, more characters, and just basically an evolution of what we're getting in the story, really. But other stuff, yeah, I say I did get two new games, and I got Super Mario 3D Land for my 3DS, because I'm travelling in a couple of days. This was going to be my travelling game, but I'm pretty much halfway through it already. Yeah, it's really, really good, and it's your classic fun Mario. Bits of it are frustrating. I sort of may have like smacked my 3DS against the wall, not thrown it, like lobbed it against the wall, but like sort of tapped it heavily. Because I've got fucking Pokemon Nationals in a month. I don't really want to have to pay out for a new 3DS. Even though I've got my 2DS, though. But yeah, I say it's really fun. It's your classic Mario thingy. I mean, this has problems with me with the perspective. Because it is 3D dimensions. You know, not like, you know, putting your glasses, 3D, you know, that sort of stuff. But it's, you know, it's how you're seeing the game in 3D. You know, like Super Mario 64. That's the best way I can say, because literally I'm stumbling over what I'm trying to get out, and basically that's the best way I can explain it. But yeah, it is really fun and awesome and great, and there's a cheat mode in it, which basically if you fuck up enough times and lose enough lives, they send you this golden leaf, this golden tanuki suit, and basically once you put that on, you're invincible. And I saved that for right to the bosses. I build up a whole shitload of lives, just keep dying and dying and dying. And so even if you do worse than that, they send you this little box which has like a wing on it, and that gets you right to the end goal. So basically you can skip the whole level, which is great. But yeah, it is a really fun game. I mean, I've beaten it. You know, I got to the end of World 8. I beat Bowser, which... Yeah, I'm sort of... Because I watched the Mario cartoon in the 90s. I would love it if you beat Bowser and then just basically he sort of pulls a zipper down and it's King Koopa. Even though they're sort of the same character, that would be hilarious. But yeah, I say it's really fun and it's very addictive. Because literally, I've beaten... I've beaten the game and it opens up the special world where, because you've got to rescue Luigi, and you do that by beating the first special world that you get into, and then you unlock Luigi. But then there's like seven more worlds after the first one, so there's eight altogether, like there is in the normal world. Basically, you need the star coins that you have, you know, three star coins in each level. You need them to you know, progress to the bosses. And then once you've got all of the star coins in the game, you can fight the final boss, which is, I think, Bowser again. I haven't got that far. I'm halfway through. I'm at Special World 3 or 4. I needed like 120 special coins, and I think I've got that, or 130. Was it? No. Yeah, I got 130. I'm trying to get 140 now. It's so complicated. But yeah, I'm having tons of fun with it, because it's the bosses are actually simple on the special world, because it's sort of get from here to there and then do this. But I'm trying to sort of unlock as much as possible, try and get all the star coins and try and find everything and do it as best I can. And it's a lot simple. It's really, really good. And I'm having tons and tons of fun with it. But I'm just trying to think, is there anything else to say about it? It's your classic funny Mario game. And it's weird. The game's a couple of years old and I've only just sort of picked it up. I should have picked it up ages ago. But I do feel, though, I mean, I was thinking about this because it's too late now, because literally I've got work tomorrow, and then that's it. I'm literally you know, pack my suitcase, get on a plane, and I fly across the world. It's like, I really wanted to pick up Fantasy Life. I should have picked that up, but not instead, but as well. But money's sort of tight at the moment because basically everything's, you know, involved in this little holiday. But yeah, I say Mario, really, really fun. There's tons of stuff to do. I mean, I know I'm going to sit here and look through videos once trying to find the missing star coins that I can't find. And then, you know, hopefully I want to have all the star coins so that I can get to the final boss in, you know, Special World 8 to fight Bowser and get the real ending and, you know, just have fun with it. Really, you know, just max it out as best I can, unlock everything. But yeah, it's great. It's really, really good and tons of fun and, you know, non-stop. I say I've got that spark part of the game now where it's like, okay, I've done this bit and I've done this bit. There's no rush to complete the level. It's literally, let's try and find these coins so that I can, you know, get further and further. And most of the worlds that I've unlocked, actually, I'm getting sort of perfect. Like, I've found 3 coins on them. There's like one in the real world and it's like 2 in the special world. So once I've, you know, got back from America, I will sit down and go through videos and try and find all the coins. That way I can do everything, really. Yes, that's other stuff. Oh, what else have I been playing? I think that's it pretty much, apart from Final Fantasy, which I'm doing really well on, to be honest. The crew. I'll go into the crew because I have been playing that last week. I haven't played much of it this week because I've been sort of Mortal Kombat and Final Fantasy have been my main focus. But yeah, I'm having tons of fun with the crew. Just driving around doing bug rule, and I'm having a lot of fun doing it, surprisingly. I mean, I drove from Detroit down to New York and then to Miami. I've been to Las Vegas. I've driven through Utah. And it's great just seeing this. I mean, when I was driving to New York, and it was like we get to the part where it's supposed to be Jersey, and it's like, yeah, this really looks like Jersey because, you know, I've been to Jersey, obviously. But yeah, I say, really, really good. And tons of fun. The graphics are great. Lots of gameplay. I mean, I'm actually thinking about picking up the season pass because my mate's thinking about picking it up as well, but he hasn't turned his PlayStation in ages. Yeah, really, really good. The crew, get it, pick it up, great. We'll make a crew or something. I don't know. But yeah, Final Fantasy. It's the thing that I keep playing and never stop. Yeah, I'm doing really well, actually. Really, really well. The expansion doesn't come out till till June. But I say my main character's still at 45. I haven't done anything more with that. I'm mostly focusing on my crafting and gathering. All my gathering stuff at the moment is at roughly 43 with the whole lot. So it's all the gathering stuff's at 43, and that's pretty sweet. And I'm having, you know, just tons and tons of fun doing that. Also, I have got my my crafting stuff. It's all past level 45 now. Most of them at 45. There's a couple at 46. And it's a pain in the ass now because I'm going away and I'm like, well, all my my leave quests are going to build up. So basically with me, it's okay. I need to do all the leave quests that I have before I go. So I've got to do, try and craft a whole bunch of stuff to do with my armor when I get a chance, probably tomorrow when I get back from work, just make a whole shitload. And then, yeah, I think I'll probably do it after the show. I'll just sort of, you know, go to the Forgotten Springs, just, you know, mine a whole load of mithril, make a load of these armor things that I need to make, and then just sort of trade them in to get points and stuff for the, you know, for my, to get my armor up to as high as it can go. Because I know when I do come back from America, I'll have like 100 leave quests that need to be done. Which is, it's going to be so much time consuming to do that, all that stuff. But yeah, it'll be pretty good. I mean, yeah, so I'm like 5 levels away from my main job getting to 50. And I'm 4 or 5 levels away from getting my crafting up to that high. My gathering, and, you know, that's just going to take a bit of time. It's a pain because it takes so much time, but it's just, once it's done, I can move on. I mean, I've maxed out my guild seals, and there's nothing else I really need to buy. So once I've got all my gathering and stuff up to 50 and maxed it out and done what I need to, I mean, I've still got like tons and tons of money to get, basically, because I need to buy all these. Once I've done all the level 45 mission quests, which are still, you know, stuff to do, it's like, you know, make high qualities of these items, which I need to make enough money so I can buy them instead of having to make them, so it just saves me a bit of trouble and hassle, and then just make other stuff, get my levels up. It's just one big progression, really. But I say, hopefully in a month from now, I'm guessing that I will be at 50 with everything and have it all done. And then I can just sort of plow through the main story and just get on with the expansion and just, you know, just keep doing what I need to do. And I'm having fun, tons of fun with this game. I mean, I did get, I say this what I said last week, I got my baby Opu. I raised enough money, I think it was like, was it three quarters of a million gil, and I bought my baby Opu, which is adorable. Yeah, I basically just sort of sat down on one of the tables in the Adventurers Guild in Uldar, and I, you know, put the little thing on my shoulder. Very cute and cuddly, took a screenshot. Yeah, it's great. It's you know, adorable little monkey. And pretty much that broke me. I think I was down to about 16K after that. So once I'd, you know, had that, it was literally just sell a load of stuff, sell all my, my materia, trying to, you know, get it all cleared. But yeah, it's great. It's going really well. I'm building up my money again, but it's just sort of, you know, trying to build up as much as I can to get the items that I need. Oh, it's just one big pain, but I'll get there eventually. Yeah, I say, I think that's pretty much it for the Final Fantasy Infinite the games. Yeah, I say, I'm sort of looking forward to going away now and just doing bits and pieces. Yeah, I say, trying to think about some other stuff to talk about that I have been playing. I mean, I did get into some Geometry Wars. Now we've got that update. Yeah, I tried that second boss. Yeah. I didn't do very well, and I think I've probably gone past it with this game. So it'd be one of those, if I'm bored and I want something to play that I haven't played for a while, I'll, you know, jump into it for maybe a couple of games. But it's one of those things. It's this thing. It's like I buy these games, I play them for a bit, and then I get bored and I just don't bother. I mean, I've got Trials Fusion, which I haven't played in fuck knows how long. I mean, Resident Evil, that's obvious because, I mean, I beat it with both characters. Done it. There's no need to do any more with it unless I want to pick it up and play it again, which, you know, as I say, it's on my hard drive, so I'll probably do that. Probably as Chris, though, because I want to check out that suit, the special, what was it, the BSAA suit, the chemical people, bioweapon people suit, which is pretty sweet. But yeah, I say, I mean, you know, Geometry Wars, it's there when I want to play it, you know. I mean, I missed out on a few sales. I mean, they were selling, was it Metal Gear Solid Ground? Was it Ground Zeroes? Yeah, the little mini thing that we get between, you know, before Phantom Pain. They were selling that for like £5 really cheap. But yeah, it was nothing worth playing. But I'm still enjoying what I'm playing. I say my friend of mine at work's got his PlayStation 4 now, and he's got a whole bunch of games. So when I do get bored, basically I'll be playing that. Oh, I know what I do want to talk about, because we got the trailer for it, and I watched it again a little while ago. Star Wars Battlefront trailer came out. I'll focus on some Star Wars Battlefront news, and then I'll go into the sort of Nintendo and Microsoft sort of news in a second. But yeah, I'll get this stuff out of the way because I really want to talk about this. Yeah, Star Wars, this is from Eurogamer. Star Wars Battlefront release date leaked. It's basically been leaked as the 17th of November of this year. The release date was discovered on the source code of the game's official site. All games beta and Video Gamer both snagged screenshots of it before it was removed. The source code read, the latest news and updates for Star Wars Battlefront available for November 17th, 2015 for PlayStation 4, Xbox One and PC. This is in keeping with what we've already know about EA targeting a holiday 2015 release, because the film comes out this year and the trailer for that looks amazing. So me and my dad will both watch the trailer. We've both wetting ourselves with excitement how good this movie's going to be. Or we think it's going to be. I mean, we all said that when episode one came out. I said, wow, this looks pretty good. And then we just got it, and it was all Jar Jar Binksy shitty stuff. Furthermore, roughly 10 seconds of Star Wars Battlefront gameplay was teased following the amazing new Star Wars Episode 7 trailer. Yeah, at a glance, that may look like CGI, but there's just sort of talk about the trailer we got. But the game's lead level designer, Dennis Branville, confirmed that in-game footage... Oh, sorry, that it's in-game footage. He says, I'm going to answer a question in advance. Yes, that is actually what the game looks like. And the game looks fucking awesome. I say that this is in-game footage. This is going to be awesome. I'd say everyone picks the game up. We'll all play it together. It's going to be great. He says, that's not CGI, he added. And finally, the first screenshot of Star Wars Battlefront was released. Feast your eyes on video games. It's basically it's a scout trooper on a speed bike through Endor, and it's awesome. But yeah, there's more news that I've got, because I do want to sort of go into it and do like a sort of, not a, a full trailer breakdown, but just talk about it quite a lot until you're all sick of me talking about it. One sec, is that the same article? Do I just... Yes, that is the same article. Okay, now I'll just put the same thing twice. Okay, one sec. Where is the second... God, there was some other. There was another article here about... shit, did I even pick it up? Oh, I must have clicked the wrong thing. Oh, here we go. Yes, got it. There we go. I think it was on Eurogamer. Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront has a 40-player... 40-player cap, no campaign. Just go to original store because there's a bunch of updates for this. Yeah, upcoming shooter Star Wars Battlefront has a 40-player cap, according to a report by the Associated Press. The AP confirms that yesterday's release date leak of 17th of November for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Battlefield features Rebel Alliance and Galactic Empire forces. Scene described by AP showed rebels fighting on Endor against stormtroopers on foot, speeder bikes, and AT-STs as well. Yes, basically what we saw in the trailer. Hoth and Tatooine and Sullus feature in the game. You can play as Boba Fett and Darth Vader too. Here's a quote from design director Nicholas Fergus. You can storm in as Darth the Dark Lord himself, Voldemort. You can wield a lightsaber, you can force choke the rebel scum, which is fun. Basically, you are the boss of the battle. This means that you, as Vader, can lead your enemy to lead your team to victory if you play well. Yeah, so basically, it's, I mean, trying to make comparisons between the previous games. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff I want to get into. I'll just, let me finish this thing in and I'll talk non-stop about it. Where the fuck was I? Here we go. Yeah, you can also pilot TIE fighters, X-Wings, and a Millennium Falcon. Although we're not sure how ship control, ship combat works in the context of ground battles. Meanwhile, there's a word on a free downloadable level available 2 weeks before Star Wars: The Force Awakens comes out in theaters in December. This is set on Jakku, which we see in the recent movie trailer. I think this. Well, I've heard this DLC is free. I was watching Emergency Awesome, you know, that guy's videos on YouTube, if you watch Arrow, Flash, Game of Thrones, that sort of stuff, give his videos a watch, it's really good. So the expansion is called The Battle of Jakku, and we'll explore the moment following the return of the Jedi when the New Republic confronted Imperial holdouts on the previously unseen Outer Rim Enclave. Battlefront is the first game in a 10-year deal between Disney and EA that make Star Wars games. We'll have more information. But I will now add the updates. That's about the trailer. Who gives a shit about that? Here we go. Yeah, Eurogamers Ulf Wilson is in Anaheim, California for the Star Wars Celebration event. And there he's interviewed DICE about the upcoming shoot at Star Wars Battlefront. DICE General Manager Patrick Buck told Eurogamer Star Wars Battlefront does not feature a campaign. Rather, it features crafted missions that are played solo with a friend via split screen on offline or... I'm so getting tongue-tied over talking about Star Wars. It's like I'm a little kid again. Cooperative online. Elsewhere, Star Wars Battlefront due out in the UK on the 20th of November 2015 for PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, has a maximum player count of 40. However, back told, Eurogame Battlefront will include a raft of modes that have different player caps, which is cool. We get the full-on 40 and we get like ones with 20 and, you know, or deathmatch, you know, how it works. During battles, players can switch from a first-person... first-person perspective to a third-person perspective at will. DICE said you'll be able to customize your characters and choose gear, weapons, and abilities. Although, don't expect to be able to put a pink cape on Darth Vader. I've seen those pictures. There's a two-player split-screen mode, and the partner feature means two players can share experience and unlocks and spawn at each other's locations. Meanwhile, if you pre-order Star Wars Battlefront, you pre-order it, you get the Battle of Jakku 1 week early, starting on the 1st of December. Other players get access to this free content on the 8th of December. So basically, pre-order it and you get it, and you know. Here's the official blurb on the Battle of Jakku, the pivotal moment when the New Republic confronted key Imperial holdouts on a remote desert planet of the Outer Rim. taking place in the aftermath of the Rebel victory in the Battle of Endor. Players will experience the events that create the massive battle-scarred landscape of Jakku shown in Star Wars Battlefront, Star Wars The Force, Force Awakens. Yeah, this game is going to be fucking awesome. I mean, it's pretty much going to be what we've got before, but with better graphics and better gameplay. And I love the thing they say about you can choose between first-person or third-person perspective. Now, you're playing as, say, Darth Vader, Boba Fett. You're flying around or you're running around with a lightsaber in first-person mode. How awesome is going to that be? I haven't experienced that since the Star Wars arcade game, which, you know, was awesome. But, yeah, I say, in this trailer, it shows, like, it starts off, like, on the Battle of, basically, the Battle of Endor. And it's like, yeah, a bunch of rebel soldiers fighting stormtroopers. You know, they're putting up shields. Some, you know, a scout. I'm guessing it's the, not scout, demolition guy. Well, I'm trying to remember now. It was either the scout or demolition guy pulls out a rocket launcher, blows up the chicken walker, and then the AT-ATs sort of march in, and then they say, well, you can call in support from, from the Y-Wing. Thing is, I'm questioning whether that's actual, you know, there's a, like a bonus where you can call in like a special, you know, an attack like that from a bombing run, or it's literally actual player flying around in a Y-Wing and taking out some of the Imperial, the AT-ATs. But I don't know yet. So we've only got this trailer, and it's all in-game footage, so that's pretty sweet, but it's like, I want in-game footage of in-game footage. I want to see what we'll see as we play, not, you know, what we'll see when we get to it. But yeah, I say this game is going to be awesome. But yeah, they sort of switch to the half, so we're getting all the basic movies from the battles from the movies. I mean, I'm just, you know, we know we're getting the Battle of Endor, we're getting the Battle of Hoth, the Battle of Jakku we're getting. I imagine we're getting some sort of Death Star trench run, episode 4. And we'll probably get the Death Star inside battle from Return of the Jedi. We're probably getting that as well. That's the only battles we need. I mean, they're probably going to throw in some other bits and pieces, maybe something on Dagobah or, I don't know. I'm not sure. I think they're going to leave all the sort of prequel levels alone, because there's no campaign, but it's just literally maps where we're fighting and beating the shit out of each other, which is great, to be honest, because that's pretty much what we want. But yeah, I say this game is going to be really, really fun. And I mean, in that trailer we did get I'm just trying to think what the planet is called. I don't know if it says it on this article. I might have read it. And God, where is it? No, I don't think it's here. Oh, hang on. Sorry, I'm just trying to find. God, it doesn't even say it. Oh, here we are, Sullust. There's a bit where you see the X-Wing chasing after a TIE fighter, and you see an in-game cockpit view. I think that is actually what we're going to see if you can switch to first-person view inside the X-Wing. That's going to be awesome. I mean, I'm looking forward to, I'm more interested in flying around in the ships than actually, being on foot. Because, I mean, my love for Star Wars is basically all about the space battles. Everyone loves spaceships and spaceship battles. But, I mean, I'm looking forward to sort of, you know, piloting an X-Wing. I mean, my favourite sort of craft from Star Wars is the B-Wing. And, you know, that thing's awesome. God, I'm just sort of stuttering and all over the places tonight. Yeah, so this is really, really good. And I'm looking forward to sort of, you know, doing the space battles, if we just get space battles themselves, or we're going to get... I mean, there was test footage of this that was leaked a while ago, and it's like, well, someone was on one of the planets, I think it was like Yavin or something, and basically jumped into an X-Wing and then flew straight out into space. Are we going to get to do that in this game? I don't know. I mean, let's say, we've still got all these... the show's coming up, E3, Tokyo Game Show, November, when this game comes out. So we've got tons of information to find out. How many different characters are there? I mean, you know, Boba Fett and Darth Vader you can play as. There must be other sort of special characters, like Jedi characters you can play, you know, Luke Skywalker. It's weird. There's so much stuff we don't know, but there's so much stuff we all want to know it all, to be honest, because the whole thing with these games now is that Star Wars games aren't canon anymore. The ones that came before aren't canon, because these are now, and it's so weird. I mean, it's so weird to have this. It's like, okay, yeah. I mean, I've read a whole shit ton of the novels, like 20, 30 the different Star Wars novels that have come out over the past 20, 30 years. And it's like, yeah, I've read all these novels, and now they're not canon. So, and I played all these games that aren't canon. So it's like, none of that means shit. What are we reading now? What are we watching now? And it's just, it's one big clusterfuck. But yeah, this game is going to be really awesome when it comes out, and I can't wait. And yeah, I just want to fly around in the spaceships. I just want to do I keep kicking the bloody mic. The levels, I mean, I used to play in the Shadows of the Empire was the Hoth level, and one of the space battles where you could sort of just blow up TIE fighters non-stop. But yeah, I say that's all I really want to do. Those same levels that pretty much everyone's going to play. It's like, yeah, we want to be, we want to be the rebels. We want, this game is going to be so much fun. It's going to be great. It really, really is. And the graphics are amazing. And I don't know, everything's going to be, it's going to be really good. Oh, Matty's in the chat. Yeah, he says there's a topic tonight. There's a finally good. Well, yeah, I'm hoping so. This game is going to be released. Force Unleashed was the best game he's ever played, and it wasn't that great. Well, no, it wasn't that great. It was good. Shadows of the Empire got boring halfway through. Yeah, it did get boring. That's like the best parts of Shadows of the Empire were where you were in a vehicle. Because on foot stuff was a pain in the ass. I mean, even I don't know what the hell it was called. It was one of the Clone Wars. I think it was like Star Wars Clone Wars. I don't know one of the Star Wars games that came out with the prequels, and you could literally, I think you could be like one of the, maybe that was one of the Battlefront games. I don't know, because they gave us a load of vehicles that we could fly. I don't know, but yeah, it's like there haven't been too many decent Star Wars games. I mean, the one I actually do like, because it was basically a role-play game, was Star Wars Episode 1 that we got on the original PlayStation back in the day. I mean, I love that game. It was great. I mean, the fighting, everything was good with it. It was just so much fun. And sort of the whole old open-world exploration that you could do, and that made it great too. But yeah, I say there's not many two decent Star Wars games out there. I don't know. I mean, I never got into the Jedi Knight series. I mean, I had a demo for for TIE Fighter on my dad's old Windows 95. Well, yeah, Matty brings up the best Star Wars game he ever played was the pinball machine. I mean, we have the Star Wars pinball games, which are pretty fun. I mean, I know I'll need to download those onto my PlayStation 4 sooner or later. But yeah, I say there has been some decent stuff. It's just marred by so much notable bad stuff, like the was it Bombad Racing that we got? The sort of kart racing Star Wars game? That was terrible. I mean, I did love the Star Wars on the N64, the pod racing game. That was great. That was really fun. That was, one of the best bits that we enjoyed about, I think, Episode 1, the pod racing. And they made a whole game out of it. I mean, I know, how old is that movie now? 99? Shit, 15, 16 years ago, it was like me and my dad, we went to some sort of Star Wars exhibition, and basically they had the Starfighters, the Naboo Starfighter there, so we could see, and then they had the actual pod unit itself from the film that was there, and they had a whole bunch of N64 set up in the back with the pod racer game on it, and me and my dad played some of that, and yeah, it was really, really fun. But yeah, I say it's hard to try and justify some. I mean, it's weird. I'm just sort of thinking now, when I say about there's not been too many good, but there's been a whole load of good games. We had the Star Wars pinball games. You had, for me, Episode 1, the first Star Wars pod racer game, because the second one was okay, but it was pretty much, the same thing we already got. Which doesn't make sense if you think about it in how the history of the game went. How the history of the films went. If suddenly he's a Jedi, but, it was sort of adult Anakin. You could fly a pod race. It's like, yeah, he's a Jedi, but you can find time to be a pod racer. I mean, everyone likes the Dark Forces, the Jedi Knight series. I mean, even though I didn't really get into it that much because I just got bored and whatever. Matt says he got put off with the N64 version because it was trying to unlock all the vehicles. Yeah, because you had to do special challenges and it was just annoying. And I think I just picked It's quite funny. I mean, one of the vehicles I actually picked was one of the, in the movies, like got blown up first. But yeah, it was actually a really good vehicle. I can't even remember who it was, but yeah, it was great. I was just trying to think what other decent Star Wars games that I played. I mean, I like Shadows of the Empire, even though it wasn't the best thing in the world. I mean, there was a thing with Shadows of the Empire that was like free. You had to beat it on good, on I think easy and normal, and then hard to unlock the real ending. Or just go on, you know, Wikipedia these days. But I say, there's been some decent stuff. There has. It's just a lot of the stuff is basically movie tie-in things, which drag it down. Say, there are no decent movie tie-in games. I'm just trying to think. Not many that I can think of, or any. I'm trying to rack my brain. But yeah, most of the stuff that's been shitty for Star Wars is some of the movie tie-ins and the game. Oh, there you are, Jedi Starfighter. Not Jedi Starfighter. It was the Starfighter game we got with Episode 1, because there was one for Episode 2 which was called Jedi Starfighter. And I didn't like that, because it let you use like the Force when you was in the ship. It just felt weird and awkward. It's like, yeah, you could slow time and then take out enemies, and it was just like, it just felt like there's nothing there to it. But yeah, I mean, other stuff, you know, Rogue Squadron. Those games are great, and hopefully they're going to get some. I mean, I was just thinking now, there must be at least 10 to 15 decent Star Wars games. I mean, it'd be nice if, you know, Games Radar did a, you know, so many best Star Wars games, because that'd be awesome. But yeah, there's been a good few. I mean, it's not. I can't really say there hasn't been. There's been a whole decent. I mean, I didn't like. Was it Rebel Assault? Rebel Assault 2? I mean, there was some sort of. Slow time, Matt is asking. Sort of the bullet time stuff. It was around. The game came out at the time just after Max Payne and the whole Matrix stuff, when basically everyone was doing bullet time. If you read the books for Star Wars, I mean, I stopped reading about 4 or 5 years ago. I stopped reading the Star Wars books because they just got really stupid. They basically, Han and Leia had twins. And, you know, they're adults now, and it was like, well, one of them turns to the dark side, and then the other one has to kill the twin brother, and it was so fucking stupid. He had, like, the ability to travel, he used the Force to travel through time. That's how fucking stupid and shitty they were getting. But, yeah, I say it's... I hope that makes asking, but if... I don't know, mate, I don't know. Possibly. So the old HFM chat there was. No, there isn't one then. But yeah, I say there's some decent stuff. But I'm sort of hoping that we do get the experience from the flying of the vehicles that we had from stuff like Rogue Squadron, and, you know, previous Star Wars Battlefront games. I mean, I say the games are going to play exactly like they used to, but the graphics are better. The gameplay is a bit better. We get first person combat. It's just. Oh, the game's going to be great. It really is. I'm wondering, like, several things, like who the bonus characters are going to be. You know, you've got, Darth Vader, Boba Fett, whoever the bad guy. I mean, let's say that in that trailer we got for the movie, I mean, it looks very much like Darth Revan from Knights of the Old Republic, you know, but in choice, that Knights of the Old Republic is set like 3,000 years before, Star Wars Episode 4. So, it's not him, but it's a very similar setup. But I say with the whole—I mean, I say we don't know much because nothing's canon anymore. So you've got all these stuff that's happening. We're trying to fill a gap that lasts 30, 40 years. Yeah, it's a long time span to fill, and we've got all this information coming out. And this game's gonna be great, ladies and gents. It really is. I say I'm probably gonna sort of stop talking about it now because I'm running out of breath. And literally, times are wasting, and I need to go for a break soon. So I'm going to do some main stuff now, of the old newsy variety. If I could just scroll it up perfectly, that'd be great. Okay, let's try and find something. Here we go. Yeah, I'm sort of rehashing some old news, but it's some good stuff. So I basically, for those who didn't listen live and the podcasters, here we're getting it again. Mario Kart 8, so we'll do some Nintendo stuff first. Mario Kart 8 comparison footage shows off 200cc speed. Nintendo has demonstrated how fast its Mario Kart 8 200cc mode will be via... Well, sorry, as it is very relevant, because I think this happens tomorrow. Not tomorrow, sorry, day after tomorrow. The gameplay shows off the Piranha Plant Pipeway track at 200cc and at 150cc. The series previous faster speed. Side by side, the footage shows a lap taking just less than a minute on 150cc, but nearer to 40 seconds at 200cc. Nintendo will add the 200cc mode to Mario Kart to Mario Kart 8 via a free update on 23rd of April. So hopefully Royce has listened to this and will download it that day, so that when we go around his house, we can sit down and play some Mario Kart all day. Extra Amiibo costume support will be available. Will be included. Mario Kart 8's second DLC pack, themed around Animal Crossing, also arrives on the same date. It contains Animal Crossing characters, the Villager and Isabelle, as well as Dry Bones, Bowser, and 8 more maps. Yeah, I have been playing a lot of Mario Kart as well. That's basically what I'm enjoying at the moment. Yeah, I'm sitting on a plane for 9 hours, Star Fox, and I've got, just a whole bunch of other stuff to play. It's going to be really, really good. Right, let's go into some more stuff. That's fine. What else we've got? Some Nintendo stuff. Okay. If I could just... I had this new update that I think was it Google Chrome did now. I've got to search through several different menus trying to find this bloody stuff. It's a pain in the ass. Here we go. Yeah, new 3DS Street Pass games out of the International Street Pass Week. Nintendo has revealed. Oh, excuse me. Basically, it's going on right now. Nintendo has revealed the new detail of the upcoming International Street Pass Week, set to take place between the 16th and 27th of April. So basically, you've got a few more days before this runs out. Two new Street Pass Plaza mini games will launch on the 16th. As detailed in the last Nintendo Direct broadcast. Street Pass Fishing and Street Pass Zombies task players with catching fish and defeating the undead using bait and weapons from other 3DS owners. The Street Pass app will get a general upgrade on the same day and will further options from your greetings. Finally, Nintendo will sell the 3D will sell the Street Pass Mini Plaza Premium Upgrade, which adds a Street Pass birthday feature and a VIP room for any special Miis you have collected. I don't see... I want to poo-poo on that, but depending on what the price is, then it might be worth it. But if it's really cheap, that is, I'm saying it's worth it. Not if it's a couple of quid or a couple of dollars. No, if it's like £1 something or $1 something, then maybe it's worth it because it's cheap and, whatever. And she wants to know the VIP Miis that I've got, and pretty much I think anyone else has, are the ones we got from the Nintendo managers, really. Today, Nintendo has detailed a few other bonuses coming as part of the week. Drop by a branch of retailer game in the UK, you can pick up all Miis from all over Europe and North America via the Street Pass Relay feature. You'll also unlock a special 3DS home theme and a VIP Mii of Nintendo European... Nintendo Europe boss Satoru Shibata. See, even saying this again for the second time, I still fuck up his name. But yeah, I say, if you're in the UK and you got, there's a game near you, pick it up and have a look, basically, and download the stuff, and you'll be right. So yeah, I'll talk about Fantasy Life. Fantasy Life 2 is on mobile devices instead of Nintendo 3DS. Fantasy Life 2 is in development for smartphones instead of Nintendo 3DS because that's where more adults are playing games, according to Level 5 president and CEO Akira Hino. Speaking of Famitsu, Hino explains why the Fantasy Life sequel was making a jump to iPhone and Android after the original game released. I'd say Fantasy Life has elements and mechanics which adults find soothing, he said. Although children play games on dedicated game systems, recently many adults have been playing on smartphones. As such, Hino said Level 5 picked the platform where more grown-ups are gaming. The supported hardware for this game was decided based on thinking of an environment where more adults play. But just, it makes sense because my friend at work is playing Dungeon Hunter on his iPad. I want to get myself an iPad so I can play Dungeon Hunter as well. There are so many decent games that are coming out on the on iPad and Android that you won't find on consoles. I mean, it's like my handheld console range. I've doubled the amount of games that I've got in the past couple of weeks. The simple fact of, you know, buying Afterburner and Outrun, Super Mario 3D Land. But apart from that, there's not much worth that's, you know, worth playing, because everything's not as good as it used to be with games, where I don't know, is it, I don't know if it's safe to say that, because I'm thinking about 3DS now because it's sort of staring me in the face. The games I'm playing are remakes or remastered versions or updated versions. I mean, I'm playing Outrun, I'm playing Afterburner. These games are like decades old. I'm playing Super Mario 3D Land, which is a new one, but it's pretty much a rinse and repeat of the basic Mario formula. I'm playing Pokemon, I'm playing, you know, Star Fox, which is, it's, you know, 3D remastered version. You know, that's what we're getting. But where are we getting originality and nuance? I don't know. That's probably not the right word to use. But yeah, we're getting all this good stuff from, you know, smartphone devices, tablets, all these, you know, touchscreen stuff. It's the innovation we're getting from games we should be seeing. But I mean, just apart from that, there's, as I say, I mean, I agree. I mean, more adults are playing on smartphones. I mean, apart from what I'm playing on my 3DS, I don't think I'd buy anything. I mean, I do want to get Fantasy Life, so I'll probably pick that up eventually. But it's just, I don't know, it's just not, 3DS isn't the device I want. I mean, I play adult sorts of games on my console, but, you know, I'm playing, say, Final Fantasy, I'm playing Mortal Kombat. Yeah, but the other stuff that I want for the few minute types of sort of games, I can easily pick up on, it's just sort of stuff that's going on that, you know, they're just not giving the stuff out that we need, but I'll wait and see. All right, let's have a look what other news I can find. Right, here we go. Oh, no, wrong folder. There we go. Let's look for some Sony stuff. Oh, here we go. Yes, Star Ocean 5. I know people who are into the Star Ocean series. I have never been into it myself. I've just never really been there. It's something I want because I'm a big sort of sci-fi fan. I'm a big RPG fan, and basically this is a mix of both. I mean, you listen to me week after week talk about how much I want to. I want Mass Effect 4, but. But no, Star Ocean 5, Tri-Ace and Square Enix are working on Star Ocean 5, a new report has confirmed. The next chapter in the classic Japanese role-playing series is in development for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3, according to Japanese magazine Famitsu. Fully titled in Japan as Star Ocean 5, Integrity and Faithlessness. Its announcement comes more than 6 years after the launch of the last Star Ocean title, which I was going to pick up, but I just never got around to it. The new installment will be set on a planet named Fakred, 6,000 light years from Earth. Out of the four Star Ocean games released to date, all but one has been made the journey to the West. We've contacted Square Enix UK for more information, but nothing has come up. And this is a couple of weeks old article, so still got nothing to basically talk about really on this. But we'll wait and see. And I've just done. I've just deleted the fucking chat room. let's move on to something else. I can't even see Matty's posts. Where the fuck was I? Oh, here we go. Yes, sorry. Let's go into the Microsoft stuff, and then I will go for a break. Xbox One is now £299 in the UK. Basically, it's gone down again, which makes me laugh. I mean, this made me laugh the first time I read this article, so I'll bring it again. But yeah, Microsoft has today, this is like from last week, has begun new advertising, lower price point for the Xbox One in the UK of £299.99. The console's retail price was listed at £329.99. Microsoft UK is labelling the new price as a retailer promotion rather than an official price cut. although this is the same terminology used back in September when the console's price tag was last dropped. This is a UK-only retail promotion, a Microsoft spokesperson told Eurogamer, and offers great value for fans looking to buy an Xbox One ahead of the launch of the 2015's highly anticipated games like The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, Metal Gear Solid 5 The Phantom Pain, and Batman Arkham Knight. Along with Xbox exclusives such as Rise of the Tomb Raider, Forza 6, and Halo 5 Guardians, it marks the fourth time that Microsoft has lowered the console's cost price since Xbox One launched in November of 2013. When it was priced at just under $429.99 and bundled with Kinect plus a copy of FIFA 15. After the console's first Christmas in the lead in up to the launch of Titanfall, Microsoft UK cut the price of the console to $399.99. Xbox One then became cheaper again, falling to $349.99 when Microsoft launched its Kinect free bundle. Then last September, Microsoft cut the Xbox One price to $329 ahead of the launch of Forza 2, Sunset Overdrive, and Halo the Master Chief Collection. PlayStation 4 launched in the UK at $349.99, a price it has maintained. So basically, the price keeps dropping for this thing, but people keep buying it. I mean, I'm not exactly on the fence about getting one. I would like one when I have the spare cash. Matty's cat is very happy to hear me, and I love Matt's cat. Pictures, please, Matt. I am tempted to get an Xbox One. I mean, I do want to get. I think the next thing I'm going to buy is a tablet, so I can play some of these games that I really want to play. I mean, I'm thinking like I can start getting into. I think not Star Ocean. What the hell's the game? I'm trying to think of this game that I love, and I can't. Oh, Galaxy on Fire. There we go. Well done. I say Galaxy on Fire. I'm looking forward to because there's a sort of online version of it, and yeah, I'd love to play that if people are still playing it. I say there's so much stuff I want to play on a tablet that I'm more interested in buying that than another console. I mean, I do want to get a Wii U because. Well, I mean, the Wii is probably going to be until next year now because Zelda's been pushed back and no idea when Star Fox is going to come out. And all these other games I want to get on the Wii U. I mean, I know Royce has got one and I'll be playing that when I go around the house in a couple of days. There's so much stuff that I want to get on a Wii U that's basically my next console that I want to buy. But then we do have the Nintendo NX, ZX, NZ. Whatever next console that Nintendo's working on, which I look forward to getting into and laughing the shit about because I don't know. It's the next console, but it's not doing what it's supposed to, or the Wii U's not doing what it's supposed to, or I don't know. I mean, what's going to be the gimmick for this new console? I mean, I want to speculate and talk about it. It's like, well, is it going to be any good? Is it going to be any bad? I don't know. Whole bunch of shit to talk about when we do get more information. But so as the console events are coming up pretty soon, as it's literally fucking hell. This year is going flying by. It's the end of April. I get back from the States. This year's flying by. It really is. If I can just let's see if any more news on from Microsoft. If not, I will go for a break. Oh, here we go. One more bit of news, and then I'll go for a break. Microsoft testing Xbox 360 update that adds 2 terabytes of USB support. Microsoft has detailed a new 360 system update that boosts the console's external USB drive support up to 2 terabytes. The previous memory cap was a paltry 32 gigabytes, even if you plugged in larger-sized devices. Microsoft's firmware refresh rolls out soon to those signed up for the Xbox 360 dashboard beta program. A public launch will then follow soon after. The update also removes the 360's previous method of reserving hard drive space in advance to maximize the amount of free room on your drive. Increased hard drive support has been one of the most requested features for Xbox 360 on the official Xbox feedback website. While monthly Xbox One updates continue, this is the first major addition to the Xbox 360 in some time. The creation of a dashboard beta program similar to Xbox One suggests that Microsoft has more updates planned. Yeah, it's nice that they're keeping stuff fresh with the 360 because, well, my load of my friends don't have the 360, and the 360 pretty much was the console to have last generation. Now it's... See, I'm not even sure now, really. I mean, I love my PlayStation 4, and there's nothing else I really want to buy. I think Royce is in love with his Wii U. I know he's always constantly having to wipe the screen for some reason. I know, JJ Stoner from 360 and 420, he loves his Xbox. I think we're all winners. That sounds so fucking sad. We're all winners in the end. We all enjoy the consoles that we have, the games that we're getting. I mean, Sunset Overdrive is really good, I've been told, for the 360. So many decent games coming out on each console. It's like, yeah, it's hard to choose. I mean, I think, Wii U, people are loving Smash Brothers. I mean, I know Royce and Ramcat, who will be at the live event, they love beating the shit out of each other on Smash Brothers, and Sean does as well. I'm just having fun with me basically Final Fantasy. So we're all winning at the end, and we're all enjoying what we're playing. I'm going to take a quick break now because I'm tired and I need a break. I need a rest. I'm tired. I'll be back in about 14 minutes, roughly 14, 15, 13, somewhere between then and then. I will back office messages, and I'll see you soon. Bye.
That combination of and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh boy!
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time,
dude. I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. Dude. Like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night, but he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not use this into a promo? I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
The Elvis and Alfred Show, Thursdays, MoreLikeRadio.com, 5 to 7. I'm Elvis Cage.
I'm Alfred.
I'm Jameson, and on the phone...
It's Bill. I'm phoning it in.
Oh, he's phoning it in. Coming to you live from the Halfpenny Pub in Sayville.
That's right. Punk rock music.
Independent music.
And all the rest of the things that we speak about.
Crazy party stuff.
Yeah. Here on MoreLikeRadio.com.
And ElvisAndAlfred.com, 24/7.
Yarr!
The Elvis and Alfred Show.
Now deep beat, cause the V is so deep. An interesting show, it won't ever put you to sleep. It has all the content that you want, the best show on the planet. I ain't even gonna front. Deep beat, bringing it again and again. Don't ever miss a show and make sure that you're always tuned in. Hosted by my man Mike and Ski Ray. Keep it turned up on the mic all day. Ask me what's my favorite podcast, I say Deep Beat. Listen to the show while you're sipping on your tea. It's the hottest of the hot. You ain't gotta trust me. Tune into the show and you will definitely see. With Mike and Ski Ray, you can't go wrong. The biggest show ever, bigger than a King Kong. Listen up and don't ever, ever miss a beat. It's Deep V. Remember that the V is so deep.
What's up, everybody? Deep V Podcast.
Deep V.
Be sure to listen to us Fridays at 8 Eastern on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Yep.
Also download us on iTunes.
Just type in Deep V.
Deep V, your favorite podcast. Favorite podcast.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
You know, at the start of the last episode, we went through different nationalities, you know, and now people know that we're Irish.
And now people know that we're all shite at accents as well.
But I was wondering, is it prejudice to not make fun of, like, all of the countries?
Where are you going for here?
We'll name check every country on the show, that way no one can be mad about that.
I could do Swedish.
Oh, yeah, what?
Birdie, birdie.
And to the Italians?
Papa da poopy.
Papa da poopy. Okay.
To the Mexicans?
The amen.
Spain? Singapore?
Oh.
Amazing.
Australians?
Crocodile Dundalk. No. A big loop are you?
No, that sounds like Limerick or something.
That's right, we never slide off the Irish, do we? Someone put a bomb in me potato. There you go. OSW review. All Irish, all racist.
More like radio, less like crap.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in. This is Mitch, producer of Dutch and Royce. I just wanted to take a quick moment to remind you why we are better than you.
I took the turkey baster and put it in the glass and sucked up as much pee as I could. I took the turkey baster, after lubricating it in my asshole, and put it up as far as I could in my asshole, and I was repeatedly thrusting it in and out while jacking off and screaming out a boy's name and moaning to make it feel like it was real.
I can't believe
this. I then imagined
Sean, did you
my
write
head,
this?
I then imagined in my head him screaming, "I'm coming!" And I squeezed the turkey baster ball, shooting all my pee into my ass. I kept taking the turkey baster out and filling it with more pee and shooting it deep into my asshole, making it feel like it was a huge cum.
Listen to Dutch and Royce live Tuesdays from 10 to midnight, only on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I just keep thinking to myself, and it makes me giggle, that every time I hear the story, I imagine it was Ray Romano in the same situation.
Oh.
Oh, Debra.
Kind of does.
I barely touched her. Come on. Oh. Oh, it was my brother. Look at him. He's bigger than me. Come on. Oh, come on, everybody loves me. I got twins. Come on. Oh, let's go Home Depot. Come on.
Fess up, Raymond. You know it was you that got you on video.
Anybody want soup?
Ma, come on. We're talking over here.
Oh, man. I'm dying.
So if you learn anything from Hippo Juice, remember, Ray Romano allegedly punched his wife in an elevator.
Right.
We don't report the news accurately. We report half of it. Whatever. It's still news, so fuck you guys. This is more entertaining than some football player.
Listen to the Hippo Juice show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Thank you.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest's ear off?
Colorado Dickhead said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric, what do they don't have? What do they have, a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down there?
It was Monsignor Hendrix who did it. I just made that up. Thanks, Colorado Dickhead.
Father Clapton goes apeshit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes apeshit in church, and that is a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
No one going Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
Conti and Kenny Show, Monday nights, 7 to 10, on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the trunk say?
On your, fuck, oof, ah,
what the trunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises.
Blah, 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 blah.
I can't understand what...
What does the drunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place, okay. Oh, let me, excuse me,
what the drunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the drunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays, 6 to 8 p.m., only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
High Society Radio is now part of MoreLikeRadio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Oh, who are you joining there?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind More Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
A family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Tonight at 10, it's a tale of lust, seduction, and murder on Sexy Betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for Lust, Betrayal, and Murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah. Three of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi. We aren't getting our informative murder porn. No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're gonna go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not going to go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too because 96% of the time that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot. Stan, you're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
And welcome back, ladies and gents, to part two of Antisocial Game Radio, live on warlikeradio.com. I'm just trying to think now. I'm sort of scrolling through my topics of stuff to talk about, because I don't really want to rehash too much stuff that I talked about last week. Let's go into some new stuff that, you know, I didn't talk about last week, because that would be helpful, as it's fresh news. And the fact that I'm going to be off next week, so basically you need all the fresh news that you can get to keep you going. And if you're listening to it on replay, this will be a rehash, because it'd be old news, but new news again. There we go. So, you try and work that one out. Ubisoft developing new project set in Child of Light universe. We haven't seen the last of Ubisoft's charming Child of Light. I need to pick that up. I really do. I've heard so much good stuff about it, I just haven't got around to it yet. The game's creative director has teased. Instead of confirming a direct sequel, creative director Patrick... Pugy, there we go, I think. Has hinted at more projects, plural, set in the same fantasy universe. Writing on Twitter, Pudri simply confirmed that players will return to the world of... Lemuria, there we go, make sure I get that correctly, in the future, although neglected to go into detail. This is on the Twitter, this is basically his Twitter account. Is how comes this guy's not a verified Twitter account? I'm literally tangenting in and talking randomly again. Fans of Child of Light, there are very cool projects in process set in the Child of Light universe. More news soon, stay tuned. And basically, there's no word yet on what form this might take, although another Metroidvania-style RPG platformer seems likely, which those are the best kind. Child of Light stands as a wonderfully realised venture into unfamiliar territory for Ubisoft. Stace Herman wrote on his Eurogamer review, I have no clue. people's names these days. It's a welcome reminder that the industry's major players still have the creative flair to push beyond the lucrative safe ground that they so often favour to create well-crafted, highly polished polished gems such as this. But you must know, mobile tablet devices, that's where you're going to get your originality these days, your creativeness, it's there. You get the sequels on your consoles, and you get your new stuff. Well, I'm saying that. I was literally watching my mate play Dungeon Hunter 5, and that's a sequel if I ever heard one. I should pick it up. I really, Matty says, don't want to rehash last week. That's why they're called callbacks. Yeah, well, the fact is that the audio is shit and no one knows what I was talking about anyway on the downloads, because there was no download to listen to. So basically, I could make it all shut up for all I care. All right, let's find some more stuff. Okie dokie, let's have a look. Oh, yeah, this I talked about last week, but as it's Mortal Kombat related, and I love Mortal Kombat, I will talk about it again. You can buy easy-to-perform fatalities for fighting game Mortal Kombat X. See, now, that's the thing as well. In Mortal Kombat X, when you press pause and you go to the moves list, there's like a fatalities for each character, three buttons. It's literally like left, right, and then one of the buttons on the right-hand side. It's like, yeah, that's the easy fatalities. It's like, yeah, I mean... You can't get any easier than that. Even I was able to perform it. I have trouble performing these fatalities. Because, it's easy. It's basically make sure you're in the right position and you just basically hit the right button in the right order. So you could buy easy-to-perform fatalities for fighting game Mortal Kombat X. We knew MKX would have easy fatalities. Developer NetherRealm has said they added them to the game because some players found normal fatalities too hard to pull off. MKX is out, its microtransactions have been revealed, and it's emerged easy fatalities up for sale, and you can pay 79p for 5 easy fatalities or £3.99 for 30. And why would you pay that? Why? I love this. It just makes me wonder. It's like, why would you pay for a fatality when it's not that important? Yes, I mean, because basically you could go on YouTube, which is basically what I did a while back, watch a whole bunch of fatalities. I think Mersh put up a video of the Mortal Kombat fatalities, and I just sort of watched that. It's like, yeah, you don't need to... People are streaming this shit. Just watch it on there, or watch the YouTube videos of compilations of all the fatalities. And I don't know. Here's the context of each playable character in Mortal Kombat X has two fatalities. One of which you can perform after defeating your opponent... Normally, they involve a number of input commands. Cassie Cage's bubblehead fatality, for example, is forward, down, back, forward, punch. Easy fatalities are the same result, but each of the perform includes holding, involving holding R2 button on PlayStation and pressing a face button. Yeah, it's simple as that. Performing the easy an easy fatalities consumes an easy easy fatality token, which can be earned through normal play. After a play through the story and an hour or so spent with some of the tower modes, test your luck, test your might, minigame, I had a number of these consumable easy fatality tokens ready for use. But yeah, I mean, just once you've seen it, you've seen it. There's no need to, you know, I don't know. Elsewhere, easy fatality tokens, among other aesthetics, include items such as costumes and character art are included. Are unlocked from the crypt. A dungeon players explore from a first person perspective. To unlock an item, you have to spend a set number of Mortal Kombat X virtual currency. Coins with a K. Everything you do in Mortal Kombat X earns coins. You cannot pay real world money for in game coins, which. I don't get that. You can pay to have these easy fatalities, but you can't use. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. What am I saying? You shouldn't be paying real world money for in game coins. That's what I'm saying. But yeah, they're charging you for easy fatalities though. So, yeah. Matty's. Do I have a Robin Williams fatality? Yeah, it's called watching Mrs. They actually made a Mrs. Doubtfire too. That would be the fatality. You just kill yourself after. Well, as far as though, I shouldn't really say that. No, I say. I mean, you know, if he didn't die, we would have got Mrs. Doubtfire too. So maybe it's a good thing he died. As bad as that is to say, whatever. I don't know. The Michael Jackson one would be so much better. Yeah, he's just running around on the screen, and then suddenly a doctor pops out and just sort of. Jabs it with a needle. Could you imagine that? We needed like a celebrity deathmatch style bonus thing with celebrity fatalities. You've got David Carradine in a closet. It's a suicide fatalities. That would be hilarious. Could you imagine that though? Heath Ledger's there just overdosing on pills. that'd be great. I just had an idea, a really sick and cruel idea. They could have, if anyone remembers Street Fighter 2, E Honda stage in the bathhouse. Oh, Whitney Houston, fatality in the shower in a sort of E Honda style bathhouse. That'd be hilarious. That'd be really good. Max says Paul Walker one would be awesome. Yeah, it's fuck, that'd be great. Could you imagine that? Yeah, the Street Fighter 2, when you got to smash up the car and there's Paul Walker inside of it and you just keep smashing the car until it blows up. That would be fucking hilarious, wouldn't it? Oh, I'm so fucking cruel and evil. This is definitely going as one of the show notes. Celebrity death fatalities in Mortal Kombat. That would be fucking sweet. Who else? Let's get into this. This could be fun. Who else? What celebrity died or killed themselves? Shitbags. God, I was just trying to think. Oh, damn it. It's a pain in the ass now. I'm trying to think of more celebrities who killed themselves or died or... The Mama Cass ham sandwich fatality. Damn it. I don't know. God, I'm running out of ideas. Damn it. It's like, why haven't more celebrities killed themselves? What's his name? Nirvana. They made a fucking documentary over that stupid ass. Yeah, Kurt Cobain, there we go. Yeah, the shotgun fatality. Kurt Cobain's, Kurt Cobain's shooting fatality from Mortal Kombat. Yeah, Strider comes out with a shotgun and blows his brains out. That'd be so sweet. Courtney Love dressed as Strider. She comes out and then kills Kurt Cobain. That's his sort of suicide fatality. That'd be sweet. Yeah, but then sort of, you know, Max says, John Candy's heart blowing out of his chest like Ahab. Yeah, I think somehow Kano turns up as well and then, tries to, some sort of involve in Kano. Who else? Oh, damn it. Fucking celebrities have died. damn it, the Owen Hart fall from the stage, fall from the top of the screen or something. God, British Bulldog died of a heart attack. There were so many damn things. Test your strength with, God damn it, what the hell's his name? The Canadian Wolverine, wrestler, Chris Benoit. Yeah, you're doing your test your might or test your strength. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Chris Benoit. Test your strength in Mortal Kombat, and basically, yeah, he just kills himself with gym equipment after killing his kids. Oh, this is so cruel and sick and funny. That's his fatality. Which would be great, actually, putting the crippler on small children. One of the new characters in Mortal Kombat, it's literally like a little kid riding on some sort of big giant type monster thingy. I think that's pretty much it for the deaths, I think. That's quite fun, actually. I had fun doing that. Being cruel and... I need more time being cruel and sick and twisted. Where was I? What were we talking about? I don't know. Before we got, Brandon. Well, it wasn't a shotgun of Brandon Lee. It was a dummy gun that was, filled with a real bullet. The blank gun went off. Yeah, Brandon. Brandon Lee's. God, that was a terrible death. Just trying to think. Where else? Damn it. just trying to think. I mean, I know Matt is sitting here with a list of. Suicide celebrities. Could you imagine that? I would say with Whitney Houston's daughter coming out of a coma, she's sort of like, her fatality doesn't quite work, and then Blanca shows up and starts electrocuting the shit out of her, wakes her up. God damn it. I'm trying to think of celebrities over here that would have killed themselves. Oh, Amy Winehouse. Yes. I don't know, she gets hit by a spoon filled with heroin or something. The Heath Ledger and Mary-Kate Olsen fatality. Yeah, she just walks past him and just kills himself. Elizabeth Olsen's a talented one in that family. That doesn't look strung out at all. God, what else? Do I see other suicide people? Damn it. I love it when celebrities kill themselves because it's one less celebrity. God damn it. What's his name? Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, someone comes out and then sort of smashes a guitar over his head or something. That sort of kills him. Sid Vicious and Nancy Fatality. Yeah, they're forced to watch that Gary Oldman movie. Quadrophenia fatality. Yeah, he just sort of drive off a cliff on a moped. I think that's it, really. That's all I know. I know Matt's going to keep posting them in the chat, and I'll read them out as he goes. But I'm going to move on a little bit, and so I'll go back to this. That's what I was talking about, the fatalities with Mortal Kombat. Elsewhere, easy fatality tokens, among other aesthetic items such as costumes and characters, are unlocked from the crypt. I've read that bit, sorry. I just found out finishing the story scored me enough coins to go on an initial spending spree in the crypt, but quickly ran out. I wouldn't describe the rate of coin acquisition in Mortal Kombat X as inadequate or generous. It's somewhere in between. So it will take some time to unlock everything from the crypt. Perhaps that's why you can spend $15.99 to unlock all the crypt items. This will save you a lot of time if you plan on unlocking everything Mortal Kombat X has to offer. But it's worth noting none of the add-ons that are up for sale affect gameplay in any way, which basically shouldn't. As you'd expect, Mortal Kombat X has a season pass called the Krypton Pack. The Combat Pack, this costs $24.99 and grants early access to 4 new playable characters and new skins. Publisher Warner is selling the Blue Steel Sub-Zero. A portion of the money made from this will go towards funding the Mortal Kombat X Who's Next tournament prize pool. Muscle Bound Goro is a pre-bonus playable character, but he's also up for sale for £3.99, which is pretty cool. I mean, I love Goro. Who doesn't love Goro? Goro's a great character. Mate says that's okay. I can come up with a new bit and a few after a cigarette. Yeah, I say, I need to get into some more Mortal Kombat. I haven't explored much of the crypt. To be honest, I have barely touched. I'm mostly just focusing on the story and trying to get through that. And it's like, yeah, then I can do more of the tower stuff. I say there's so much to do with Mortal Kombat X. It's just overwhelming and trying to find the time. And it's like, yeah, I've got this to play. I have Final Fantasy stuff to do. I'm traveling in about 2 days. I'm literally got to clean the house and hoovering and make sure the food is gone so there's no fresh stuff. It's all eaten. And trying to keep my nice, slim and sexy figure, which is going actually quite well. Yeah, it's as I say, you know, other stuff to do, but I need to get into plenty of Mortal Kombat X when I get back from the States anyway. Let's do this. Yes, as we all know, every year we get a new Call of Duty game, and this year is no exception. Activision confirms Black Ops 3 is coming this year. Following this morning's Black in Black. Back in Black teaser, Activision has confirmed that 2015's Call of Duty game is Black Ops 3. This comes as no surprise because in the teaser was absolutely loaded with Black Ops quotes and imagery. Still as obvious as it may have seemed, we now have full confirmation from the publisher via Activision's Twitter account. Yes, basically Twitter goes, it's official. At Call of Duty Black Ops 3 is coming this year from Treyarch, as you'd expect. Activision has has a world reveal planned for April 26th, so come back to this IGN and basically find out. But yeah, I say, it's not much of a it's not much of a surprise that we're not getting, what the fuck am I trying to say? It's no surprise that we get a new Call of Duty because it went over the year. That's what I'm trying to say. There we go. And Matty says African-American ops. Yeah, it'd be nice if it was actually set in Africa. It's a new Call of Duty. It's same as we got before. I mean, it's weird, right? I'm sort of done with the Call of Duty, but I really want to play a Call of Duty game because I didn't bother picking up Battlefield Hardline, even though I thought I was going to. I just want something. I wanted something that plays like Call of Duty, but is different, I guess. I don't know. I want vehicle combat, and I don't think we get that in the recent Call of Duty stuff. You know, I'm fussy. I really am. That's why I'm looking forward to Star Wars Battlefront. Yeah, because we're getting vehicle combat, we're getting on foot combat. It's going to be great. It really is, but I don't know. So new Call of Duty, as you'd expect, as we get every year. Nothing new there, to be honest. It's the same old shit. Right. Here we go. Yeah, this is okay. This could be something. I don't know yet. Let's have a read. Capcom Street Fighter V is something that nobody is expecting. That intrigues me from reading that. Street Fighter V will be a fighter that aims to expand Capcom's fan base by offering up something unexpected for gamers, according to the series producer Yoshinori Ono. With Street Fighter V, we have a fantastic opportunity to create something with a larger scope. A game that encompasses all that Street Fighter has become in the last few years, but which basically means every Street Fighter 4 Special Edition and fucking 4 or 5 games that have been Street Fighter of the same name but with speed. Just basically all the shit you can patch into it, but they make new games for it. A game that encompasses all that Street Fighter has become in the last few years, which also expands on that to become something it has never been been before as well. So does that mean that Street Fighter V might be that Tekken versus Street Fighter? But we've already got the Street Fighter versus Tekken. I don't know. I want the Tekken versus Street Fighter. I want to fight in 3D in arenas with Street Fighter characters and Tekken characters beating the shit out of each other. Not just, you know. We need that game. I want that game. That's the icing on the cake that I want. I want, you know, that game, basically. So now we can create something that is that nobody's expecting. Ono went on to add, it's going to be a title that caters to fans, of course, but one that also invites completely new players onto the scene. Street Fighter V was about Street Fighter 4 was about reviving a passion. Street Fighter 5 is about growing that passion.
So
I don't know. It's more of the same. I mean, I want to be enthralled and worship in, you know, what he's saying. But yeah, you made with Street Fighter 4, you got so many different special editions and turbo editions and high speed championship, all this sort of bullshit editions that we got from this game. But it's the same shit you're churning out time and time again. But you're saying that this is going to be Street Fighter 5 is going to be something special. It's the same. It's like even with Mortal Kombat. I love Mortal Kombat. I love Street Fighter. I'm no good at Street Fighter. I'm barely good at Mortal Kombat. But it's like it is the same stuff. It's the same characters. It's just you're putting out new stuff, skins, characters. It's the same stuff. There's nothing new to it. I mean, even with Tekken, even when they came out with the Tekken Force mode, the sort of Streets of Rage style scrolly fighty, you know, sort of thing, we didn't get much new. It was nice and great and fun, but it wasn't. I don't know. It just wasn't what we. I don't know. It's weird, but I will wait and see what he says when we get this new stuff about Street Fighter V. But at the moment, I'm skeptically on the fence. Here we are. EA, some bad news from EA. EA shutting down 4 free-to-play PC games. EA is pulling the plug on 4 of its older free-to-play PC titles. These include Battlefield Heroes, Battlefield Pay for Free, and Need for Speed World and FIFA World. Never heard of FIFA World, but I know of Need for Speed World. I was going to try and get into that a while back, but I just didn't because it's one of those things. Yep, okay, I know about this. Oh, look, it's shiny, and I completely forgot. EA noted on its blog that these games will remain available for the next 90 days, which will be the 14th of July. It's basically a few days after my birthday. The publisher said that there are titles that... Oh, sorry. That these... what the fuck? The publisher said... Jesus Christ, they need to spell check this shit because I'm reading... It says, the published said... Come on, people. It's very simple. It's called spell check. And you read through your articles before you publish it. That makes you a dumbass if you don't. The publisher said that these titles are not as popular as they once were. No shit. And that shutting them down was a tough decision. Well, they're not popular, they're not making you money, then what do you do? On the plus side, EA ensured Star Wars The Old Republic enthusiasts that the popular MMO won't be going anywhere anytime soon. In fact, it's going to get more content later this year. Well, because we have the new Star Wars movie, but actually, if you want to play a decent MMO, you pick up Final Fantasy XIV. Or you play World of Warcraft. That's what you pick. I say, yeah. Or, you know, yeah, you know, like sci-fi stuff. Yeah, you play Mass Effect. you know. But yeah, of all the titles singing their swan song this spring, EA reminisced, it's in more than 5 years since most of these titles were launched. How we play games has changed dramatically. There were pioneering experiences, and we're humbled that over the years so many of you has joined us to enjoy the games with the community. So that's pretty cool. Boss mate, you on about now? This is make love, not war. How about instead of fatalities, you have sexuality, like blanker cornholing Cammy. I think that's the same move as using his lightning attack. Or Sagat skewing Ken. Well, I think Sagat's a good guy now, I think. I heard from the way the games are played. I love the lore, but I never haven't paid much attention to Street Fighter's lore since the sticker books back in the 90s. But yeah, I say let's move on to something else. What we got? Here we go. Yes. Because I talked about it. See, this is what pissed me off because it was such a good show last week. We got the Deus Ex Mankind Divided trailer. This game looks fucking awesome. I liked Human Revolution. I didn't like the bosses because they were tough as balls. But we're getting new information now that basically says that Mankind Divided will be completely ghostable. Which is great because I love being stealthy when it comes to games like this. Yeah, players will be able to ghost their way through the whole of Deus Ex Mankind Divided and complete the game without being detected, which I will definitely try that. I will, you know, I love anything stealthy where I can be stealthy. I mean, I'm quite, for as big a guy as I am, I can be quite stealthy when I want to be too. Amount of people who are smaller than me and not see my shadow, and I've still managed to sneak up on them. Oh, just, it's my special abilities. Yeah, players will be able to ghost their way through the whole of Deus Ex without being detected. This will include even this will include boss fights, according to the developer Eidos Montreal, which would be sweet. I would love that. It makes me think of Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater. You know, where you could sort of, when you fight, is it the end? Yeah, the end, the sniper. And basically, if you set, you change the time on your console to, I don't know, like a few years ahead, he dies of old age, or, you know, you take him out before. It's sort of like that. You can sort of mess with how the game's internal mechanics work. But yeah, it's responding to a fan question via Twitter. Game director Jean-Francois Dugas confirmed that players will be able to remain unseen and undetected throughout the entire game, which is my dream, basically. Yeah, this is Robert Brownie Jr. This is Will Mankind divided if it be ghostable? And Jean-Francois says, as always, even on the boss side, finally, yeah, because the bosses were broken with Human Revolution, and, you know, because basically I built my character to be super stealthy because I like to play this sort of stealthy open world games as stealthily as possible. But then you have to fight the boss, and it's like, well, I've got like a stun gun and a bunch of, you know, taser grenades or whatever the fuck I had for my character, and it's like, yeah, I can't do this because my guns are way underpowered because I don't use them like that and don't put any points into my strength or, you know, how I could, you know, build my character. But yeah, so I'll carry on reading. Eidos Montreal faced criticism over for the boss fights in 2011's Deus Ex Human Revolution, which the studio admitted they'd been outsourced to another developer. So basically, it wasn't in-house with you know, Eidos Montreal. Happily, Mankind Divided will also feature the hardcore stealth mode, Give Me Deus Ex, Dugas confirmed. Additionally, the developer is looking at options for a new game plus offering. Yay. I can't wait for this game. It's going to be awesome. Revealed by publisher Square Enix last week, Mankind Divided is a sequel to Human Revolution, set several years later. Protagonist Adam Jensen is now working for Interpol to hunt down augmented terrorists in a world that hates and fears cybernetically enhanced humans. New abilities include the ability to remote hack electronics and erect a nanoshield. Oh, God. I am such a 12-year-old boy. And then basically we have the trailer for it. This game is going to be sweet. I can't wait. I say there's so many good games coming out. Just so much stuff happening. Oh, here we go. Yeah, Tony Hawk. This is what I didn't get to talk about last week. We could be getting a new Tony Hawk game. Basically, is the next Tony Hawk game reveal coming soon? Is Activision cooking up something for Tony Hawk 5? A recent Instagram post from Chef Joe Yukon, owner of Tasting Spoon, shows the chef standing in a half pipe fully laid out for a feast. In the background is a screen with a logo for Tony Hawk 5. In November, Hawk flat out said he's working on a new console game with Activision. He made the announcement that after it was revealed that the mobile game Tony Hawk Shred's Session was on hold indefinitely, so basically it's never coming out. Are we approaching an official reveal of the next Tony Hawk game? It's been a long time since we had a proper Tony Hawk game on consoles, and anyone who has fond memories of linking together huge scores or kick-flipping homeless people on Venice Beach is waiting anxiously for the confirmation of a new game. A spokesperson for the Tony Hawk game told us that Tony Hawk 5 is just a working title, but had no other news for us at the time. But when we do learn about the game, we'll make sure we let you know. Yeah, I say I would. I kind of want a new Tony Hawk. I kind of don't. It's one of those things. It's like, yeah, you'll enjoy it up until you get to play it, and then when you get to play it, you'll remember what you hated about it. I mean, I never got into the skate games. They were just sort of too tricky for us, you know, to play. It was just sort of weird, and, you know. But I mean, I do like the Tony Hawk stuff. The graphics, if we do get it for the current consoles, the graphics are going to be really good. Hopefully the gameplay is pretty good. I mean, my friend had a skateboarding game on his iPhone or Android or whatever the fuck he was playing on, and the graphics are really good on that. It was basically just like a skateboard, and you sort of need to hand over the screen to sort of flip and do tricks and stuff. And yeah, that looked really, really fun, and really enjoyable. But yeah, so a new Tony Hawk game would be pretty good. I mean, you know, maybe adding some of the previous levels that we've enjoyed from previous games. Yeah, we'll wait and see. I mean, I'm running out of time now, so I'm trying to get into the last few bits of articles because I'm trying to get as much information to you as I can because I'm off next week, so, you know. Nintendo nerfs Diddy Kong in Smash Bros. Wii U patch. The latest Super Smash Bros. Patch for the Wii U, for Wii U patch, has included a range of balance changes for much of the game's character roster. But the fighter that has been affected is Diddy Kong, DK's diminutive sidekick, who previously regarded by many players as being powered. The character's attacks now cause less damage, upset Diddy fans have reported. Moves which have been reduced in power include Diddy's aerial attacks, throws, banana throw, and monkey flip. Nintendo does not detail the balance changes it makes to the game's roster, but fans have been compiling a list over on the Smash Brothers Reddit. Most moves have seen their damage reduced by 2%, which knockback also removed. The new patch, which went live the other day, also includes 8-player support for more stages and allows players to download the DLC characters. DLC character Mewtwo. Mewtwo will soon be available to buy for all Smash Brothers players, priced around £3.49. But anyone who registered copies with both the 3DS and the Wii version with Club Nintendo should have received free download keys for characters yesterday. Yeah. So that's pretty cool, you know. But I say, everyone's getting Mewtwo, which is cool, but the patch on... I say, half this stuff doesn't mean anything to me because I've never played... I mean, I played the demo for this, for my 3DS, and I just didn't enjoy it at all. But, meh, I guess it's... I don't know. I say, I'm not the best person to talk about Smash Bros. I played it, I didn't like it, and... I mean, when I get to Florida, I might play it at Royce's place because I know he has it, but... I'm not fussed. I mean, say, you know, whatever, there's other characters to play as, and... But to be honest, I mean, everyone's complaining that Diddy Kong was overpowered, and they fixed him, and now he's nerfed, but... That's what happens with all games. Everything's fixed. It's nerfed. It's, you know, overpowered. Whatever. Carmageddon Reincarnation was due out next week, which is basically this week now. But it's now out next month. Developer Stainless Games announced the delay from 23rd of April to the 21st of May on Steam. It will need a bit more polish, it's said. There will also be an update to improve the early access build while you wait. Stainless explained, we've been making great strides on all fronts and were within a metric smidge of releasing next week, but in our final go-no-go meeting, we all agreed that the extra time was needed. The additional month gives us time to polish various areas of the game even further. I know that many of you have expressed the opinion that you'd rather we brought you a better game than release too soon, and we agree. So basically, the game's going to get... delayed for a bit, but I say always put some polish onto it. But I've got a weird feeling about this that when it does come out, it's still not going to be as good as basically they want it to be. That's my little thought on that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, whenever they say they put more polish onto it, I mean, there's still even more polish to put on when the game comes out, but I don't know. It's weird. It's weird to try and explain this sort of stuff. But I will move on so that way I don't have to. GameStop to experiment with retro game and console tradings. GameStop is going to experiment with accepting and selling used retro consoles, accessories, and video games. The popular retail chain... not that popular. Nobody likes them. Revealed this upcoming trade in... hang on. The popular retail chain revealed this upcoming trade-in program to IGN, where it noted that this will begin as an experiment across roughly 250 locations in New York City and Birmingham, Alabama. IGN reported that starting on 25th of April, which is this Saturday, same day as the live event, participant locations will accept video game goods dating all the way back to the NES era. If the program is successful... GameStop hopes to expand its nationwide by the end of the year. GameStop assured the users that it will only sell retro goods that are in tested working order. We will bring all of the products back through the refurbishment operation center for inspection, testing, and repair. The retailer told IGN it also noted that older consoles will have the same warranty as currently used and refurbished consoles. There will be roughly 2 months between when GameStop begins accepting the retro tradings and when it will start selling them. This will allow the chain to chain time to build up a good assortment for retro gamers, fans, to select from when shopping. The vintage goods won't be taking up previous shelf space at brick and mortar stores, however, rather they'll be sold through the GameStop website. Or you can just go on eBay or Amazon and, you know, find the stuff there. I guess. But yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, if there's something old or diehard you're trying to find, I don't know. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. I mean, there's a picture on the article here, and it's showing off a Virtual Boy. That's not good. That's not good at all. That's brain damage in a visor. But we'll wait and see. This pretty much wraps up the show for this week because literally, I am done talking, basically. I mean, I've got a whole bunch of old articles, but they can hold off for another couple of weeks because they're not that important. But yeah, I say this coming weekend, ladies and gents, we have the third annual Morlock Radio live event in downtown Lakeland in Florida with us and the beautiful ladies of Moxie La Femme. And some of the blokes who are pretty fucking ugly. but yeah, you go for the ladies, you don't go for the men. So tickets on door, it's $10. All the money's going to the Big Cat Rescue. It's a non-profit cat sanctuary in downtown, in Tampa Bay, Florida. Tampa Bay? Yeah, Tampa, Florida? Yeah. In Tampa, there we go. Basically, comedy from Mersh and Dan DiMarino, Stay Out, Spank Down. Raffles, giveaways, a whole bunch of stuff. Come down, say hello, donate, just raise as much money as we can. And seriously, people, donate some fucking money, because I brought a lot of money last time for Otto Peterson's memorial, and I put a shitload of money in. We raised some decent money, but it's like, yeah, there's a lot of people there. We could have raised a lot more money. So put your hands in your fucking pocket, bring a shitload of money and donate so we can help these cats. Because, I like animals more than people, and cats are adorable. I mean, I went to the zoo the other week. I saw a couple of tigers. Awesome creatures to see in real, like, up close. Powerful creatures. Who doesn't love cats? I mean, I grew up in a house with 9 cats. I mean, these are the big cats. Don't forget as well, coming up next, I think, Alcohol by Volume. I think there's no My Time Now this week because Johnny Five is sacrificing a goat or something. And then we have Dutch and Royce finishing out the night. I say there's no show next week for me because I will be in Florida, probably, I don't know, buried on a beach somewhere, probably left out to sea. I don't know where I'm going to be next week, but I'll be somewhere in America anyway. I will be back the week after, and this will be a good show. And this pretty much wraps it up. So, ladies and gents, I will see you when I get back. I will tell you all the gory details and all the stories. And I mean, I'll take plenty of pictures from the live event. I'll chuck them up on the old Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ Antisocial Game Radio. Get on there, give us a like. And it's going to be really good. And I will see you when I get back. Take care, people. Goodbye.
Brought anything to the table?
My God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.